next few Sunday morning, three of them anyway, in a row. And I always like the Christmas season. It's one of my favorite seasons of the year. You'll find Matthew chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 18, and we'll read to the end of the chapter, which is verse 25. So if you found it, let's stand together. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
And she shall bring forth a son, and shall.
Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Father, I come to you today, and I thank you for the privilege to read your word. And while I feel a little bit weak this morning, Lord, I pray you give me strength. And I thank you for the privilege to talk about and to teach about the Christmas story. As today, we look at this story and we read this story, and we're going to read it over and over and over, and we'll hear it over and over and over over the next month. But Lord, not everything about the Christmas story is easy. And I pray as we talk about your will regarding the Christmas story that you would give us a message from heaven and you'll speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I mentioned when I was praying that you hear this story read several times over the next month. If you listen to Christian radio, and that's mostly what I listen to, that and talk show and sports. That's my three. I'm kind of limited, three things. But I'm not a real music person, I guess. So I listen to more talk radio than anything. But you'll hear this constantly over and over. And I text the guy, Bill Matthews, and so we, back and forth on Saturday nights, we pray for each other. But we do a little texting. He says, well, you know, we're trying to always look for something fresh. And I said, Bill, I never get tired of hearing the same story. I just think the Christmas story is one of those stories that you can just hear over and over and over. And it ought never to bore us. Matthew chapter 2 continues this particular account. This is only part of it. Luke's gospel has some of it. There's a lot of Old Testament references that are related to the Christmas story. You'll see it on television. You'll see it in plays. You'll hear it in cantatas. You'll see it in pageants. I enjoy all of it, quite honestly. I think it's a wonderful thing. But the cast of the story involves several people. Herod, the wise men, the innkeeper, the angel, Mary, obviously Joseph and baby Jesus, the Holy Spirit, a star, shepherds, some animals, John the Baptist's parents are involved here, and even the Magi. Now, as you look at this story, we find two people who are engaged to be married. Now, that's what it says in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. The Jews had an espousal period or a betrothal period. They had that period before a couple was married. It's kind of like what we do in his engagement period, only quite honestly, there was a lot more commitment involved to it. In a Jewish wedding, some of this is kind of strange, but the groom would leave his house, he'd go to the bride's house, but he didn't go to the bride's house to see his bride-to-be. He went to the bride's house to negotiate with the girl's dad the price to be paid to secure his bride, and that was known as a dowry. Once he paid that price, the two were regarded as being engaged or in this espousal period that the Bible talks about here. Now, the bride was declared to be exclusively apart for the bridegroom. Now, much of this we still practice. I think it'd be a good idea when couples get engaged if the guy and the girl you know, said, okay, I'm off the market now, so to speak. You know, this is my husband-to-be, this is my wife-to-be, and we don't date anybody else anymore. But I understand that some people don't follow that practice. It's kind of a strange thing, I think. If this is the person you're planning on marrying, I think it would be the person that you ought to, that's it, you're dedicated to that person. Anyway, the bride was declared to be set apart exclusively for the bridegroom, but not all. We don't do all of this stuff. We do the engagement and all that. We don't do vows at the engagement period. They did their vows at the engagement period. The moment the covenant was made, the bride and the groom, they drank from a cup as a betrothal benediction, and had been announced, their engagement had been announced, to symbolize the relationship had already been established. Now, we do at a wedding, we do a ring ceremony to establish it. After it was established, the groom went home, and he remained there for a year, and he was separated from his wife-to-be for that year. During that year, that time of separation, the bride gathered her wardrobe for married life. That's why it took a year of separation. It took her a year to gather her wardrobe all together, I guess, or something. I'm not sure why. But anyway, during that time that's what happened. So the groom prepared living accommodations and a house for his bride. And during all of this, obviously, because they're separated, there's no physical contact, which, by the way, as it should be. Before a couple is married, there should be no physical contact, as far as you know what I mean. So you are wise, and you're playing with fire if you're getting involved in sexual activity very easily if you head that direction. So this is the period time for Mary and Joseph. They're engaged. History tells us, the Bible doesn't, but history tells us that Joseph was substantially older than Mary, but evidently there was something that he found in her favorable, and he desired to spend the rest of his life with her and she with him. So they're preparing for life together. And they got it all planned out. And this is how it's going to be. He's doing her thing. She's doing her thing. He's doing his thing. And she's doing her thing. And they're getting their life all planned out together. They got it all laid out. This was their plan and how things were going to work out. And this is how things were going to be. But God had a different plan. So we're going to talk about God's will again. And I'm going to use the Christmas story as an illustration. And here's the first thing. God's plan is often different from ours. You know that? Now, ever say or think, God, what is up with this? I don't get this. I don't understand this. Listen, I've done that. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, okay? Sometimes it's like, I don't get it. I don't know. After they're engaged, the Bible said in verse 18, before they came together, they had no sexual, physical contact before they came together. She's with child. She's pregnant. Do you think she expected that? I don't think she expected that one. This was way different than what she had planned. This is not what she had in mind. They had their lives all planned out, and now this. And sometimes I'm just saying the plan of God is different than we anticipate. You can't keep this a secret. After a few months, I don't really know how long that is, but after a few months, you ladies would know, it's going to become rather obvious. So Joseph gets the news that Mary's with child. Now what he's going through is mind. I mean, can you imagine this guy? Here's this girl I'm engaged with, and now she's pregnant. He didn't expect this at all. I can promise you this was really different than he expected. He wasn't even prepared for this. I can see something like this. I've got all this planned out, and now this. It's kind of like when somebody gets a really bad disease. Okay, you didn't plan to get cancer. Most people, I don't know anybody that plans to get cancer. Some of you have gone through some things in your life, I have, that like, this isn't what I planned. This wasn't exactly how I had the script written. I've got all this planned out, and now this. And many times God's plans for our lives are different than we think and different than we want and different even than our fleshly desires. It's part of living by faith. It's part of trusting God. It's part of yielding to God's will. The just shall live by faith. And so when things happen in your life that you have no control over, do you accept them as from the Lord? Or if it's different than what you want, do you get mad at God? Do you get mad at life? Does everything just like this is just awful? Often God has different plans for our lives than we do. Different because God knows best, and God also has a plan, right? So let me say this. Don't you plan your life so strict and so stringent that God can't even change you and change your plans. I'd heard of stories of children desiring to go to the mission field, and their parents got upset about it because that's not what they had planned. That's not what their desires were. And their children never did make it to the mission field. Listen, be open to the will of God for your life. Be open to the will of God for your children's life, and don't get upset. Just accept it. But I can promise you this, God's plan can be different than your plan. The second thing, God's plan can be very difficult. Don't turn there, but over there in Luke chapter 1 and verse 29, the Bible says, talking about Mary and the birth of Jesus, she was troubled at this saying. You would have been troubled at that saying. Now, it's kind of ironic. At that time in history, the Jewish young ladies were, they were all anticipating a Messiah, a deliverer, and you know, they were like, they wanted to be the mother of that particular deliverer. But now all of a sudden, it's Mary. And it's like, wow. Here you're engaged, and now you're pregnant. You've never been with a man. And what is the person that you're engaged to? What's he going to think? Now it's different, but it's awful difficult. So he hears about this story. What happened to Mary was she's never been with a man, but she's pregnant. Now, quite honestly, that's never happened before. And it's never happened since. And I'll tell you a quick story. Right after I was pastor, I mean, right after the church voted me in to be pastor, there was a lady in the church here at that time, and she got pregnant. Boy, brought her into the office. She wasn't a young girl. I mean, just she was probably in her 40s. And she got pregnant, but she was single. And you know what she told me? I haven't had any sex. Now, I was born at night, but not last night, okay? I got, you know what I mean? And I'm like, well, so anyway, she had a boyfriend, and they were cuddling, da-da-da-da-da-da. So the other guy at our church, so anyway, eventually she admitted. So we had a guy in our church call me up, like the following, a couple days later. Pastor, do we have an immaculate conception in our church? And I didn't get it right away. I said, what are you talking about? Well, I hear we have women that can get pregnant without being with a man. I said, oh, now I get it, yeah. I said, no, it didn't work out that way for her, but the truth finally did come out. But this is really something. Joseph gets the news. Look what it said in verse 19. The end of verse, the end of 18 says she was found with child. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Now, he could have done either one. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for thou which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, he gets the news. He knew he had never touched Mary inappropriately. She's with child. I'm sure there are certain things going through his mind, like, what is this girl doing? What's going on here? And this wild story of an angel appearing to her, I never heard nothing like this before. Now, he could have taken her before the elders of the town, and he could have had her condemned privately. And they would have taken her out of the city and stoned her. But, and by the way, Joseph had every right and had the authority and the power to do that. But there is a catch to that. He would have had to cast the first stone. And I don't think Joseph was ready for that. He loved her. And this is a difficult. And so now he's got a decision to make. And then the angel appeared to him in verse 20. It says, while he was thinking what he should do, or while he thought on these things. You know, when you're in a difficult situation in your life, you know, don't make a hasty decision. Ponder it. Think of. Don't listen to everybody's advice all the time. Just sit there and think about it and try to get the mind of the Lord on the thing. So he's meditating on this. He's thought on these things. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. What's he supposed to do? Then the angel comes. As you move along in this particular story, Mary begins to show. Now let me ask you this. Do you think there was any whisperers out there? You think there was any, maybe a little bit of gossip going on? Don't you think there were some people who heard this story and said, yeah, right, that's a good one. Who doubted this? Maybe, probably. I mean, it is a pretty wild story, right? It never happened before. But here's the thing with people. They don't know the facts. A lot of people, they do this, and the reason is they don't know what you're talking about. They don't know the facts. Sometimes I hear things about me that are quite interesting. Some things I hear about me are flat out lies. And it's just like, well, okay. But anyway, it was difficult to live with all of this stuff. I want you to skip down to verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Joseph was obedient. But I'm sure people talked about him as well. I'm sure people are saying, they're messing around. No one gets pregnant like that. They're screwing around. That's what's happening. Another crowd, he's just a dope. What's he doing marrying this girl that gets pregnant before they come together and be married? What's wrong with that guy? There's another crowd that probably would have said, well, love is just stupid, you know. Don't worry about it, whatever. People looked, people talked, people gossiped, people didn't know the facts. It was difficult. Sometimes the will of God is difficult. Sometimes the will of God involves different circumstances than you've laid out for your life. And many times people say, this is too hard. I can't do this. I want it easier. I want an easier place in life. I want an easier path in life. Yet sometimes God's will for us is difficult, or it involves difficulty. Here's the age-old question. Why do bad things happen to good people? And the age-old example is Job. Why? Let me give you a few thoughts on that before I move on. Sometimes bad things happen to us because God is punishing us. That's chastening is the word that's used in Hebrews chapter 12. If you're in sin and you don't want to get out of it, God's going to chasten you. And then you say, well, God's never chastened me. Well, then you're not a son, because the Bible says over there, he chastened every son whom the Father loveth. Even then, the intent of that chastening is always intended for my good and your good. God is always trying to lovingly draw us back to himself. There's a second reason. It's just the opposite. Sometimes God allows it to purify us. Peter called it the fiery trial of our faith. Malachi referred it to the refiner's fire. Jeremiah referred it to as the potter, how he makes and molds and reshapes the clay. Why does God want to purify us? Listen, so he can see his reflection in us. That's why he wants to purify us. He wants to see him in me. The song says, when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Job said that also. Thirdly, to prepare us for what lies ahead. What does lie ahead? I don't know. You don't know. Mary and Joseph didn't know what was ahead. We can look back and say, we knew what was ahead. The Savior of the world was ahead. And it was like, but they're going through this. Then fourthly, to punish us. In Acts, persecution, I'm not punish us, to push us. In Acts, persecution came so the gospel would go out further. God said, look, you guys are all sticking around your Jerusalem here, and I want you to go into all the world, so I'm going to send persecution, so it's going to push you out of Jerusalem into the uttermost parts of the world, and that's what happened, and all the result of that was churches were established all over. And sometimes I think God does it to puzzle us. We just don't know why all the time. He wants us to trust him when we don't understand. When my late wife died, that's not how I had the script written. I didn't see that one coming. Did you see that one coming? We didn't see that coming. But, you know, you live by faith and you say, okay, God, I'm going to accept this, but I can promise you it was difficult. It was way different than I would have wrote it. I have a good friend, all of you know him, Tom Stiles. It was Christmas season. I have no idea how many years ago. I guess I'm going to have to call up and ask him. He was pastoring a church. The church had gone through some hard times, but all churches go through some hard times. And then they had come out of them, hard financial times and stuff. And the head of school. Anyway, the deacons called him over to the church on Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve. And he told Barb, that's his wife, he says, Barb, the deacons want me to go over for a quick meeting. And she says, I'm going to run over to the church. And so he runs over to the church, and he thought maybe they're going to have a party for me, or they're going to have a pastor appreciation or something. But he had all positive thoughts. He didn't have any negative thoughts. So when he walked into the church, they said, Pastor Tom, we just want you to know that we are asking for your resignation on Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas, right? You couldn't wait it to 2 years, two weeks later. Or I don't even know why they did it, to be honest. I wasn't part of the solution, so I don't need to be part of the problem. But so they dismissed him. So he left there, and shortly after the holidays, he wrote up a resignation and resigned from the church. I saw him at a pastor's fellowship, I think the third week in January, because normally that's when we get together. And that guy was lower than a snake's belly. I mean, he was just down, discouraged, depressed, which you probably would have been too, by the way, and never saw it coming. Those were difficult days for him. We've been good friends, but then he got involved with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedom, and after a while, he was there several years with Brother Motley, and then when Jason McGuire took it over, Tom got out of that ministry, and then he rose up in a ministry that he has now called Arise, trying to get God's people to rise up. The church today is in a fight. I think you know that. You ought to know that if you can't figure that out. But we're in a fight for good and evil. And that wasn't what Tom had planned. It was way different. It was way difficult. I'm just telling you, some of us have been here and done this where it's not what we had planned. It was different than we thought. And it was very, very difficult. Thank God Joseph was obedient. He didn't put his wife away publicly or privately. He thought about it and he kept her and he married her. Now, different than expected? Oh, yeah. Way. More difficult than he probably ever would have imagined? Oh, yeah, I'm sure it was. Go to Exodus chapter 14. But he did what God wanted him to do. Now, I want to say this again. Sometimes God leads in pretty difficult and tight places. Sometimes the will of God is hard. Now, look at Exodus 14 and verse 9. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pharaoh before Baal Zephon. Now, Moses had led Israel out of Egypt, and it looked like they went the wrong direction. Here they are. They were surrounded. Water on one side and the Egyptian army on the other side. And the people doubted. Go down to verse 12 for a moment. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? Didn't they pray for deliverance just before that? Cry into blues. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptian than we should die in this wilderness. What were they to do? Now look what it says in verse 13. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And when were they to do it? Right then. When we are put in a tight spot, we need to stop as Joseph stopped and he thought on these things, and we need to see the salvation of the Lord. Learn to live by faith, because sometimes God's going to lead you in tight places and it's going to be different than you planned, and in sometimes it's just very, very difficult. And as our Lord grew, so now Mary's had Jesus. As our Lord grew, there were two kind of people that he dealt with in his life. One was for him, that was the minority, and the other was against him, and that was the large group. And that group of people was very, very difficult. And it was headed up by the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. And now you think about this. You talk about Mary and the will of God. She watched eventually as Jesus was arrested, as he was nailed to a cross. Do you think it was hard for her to watch her son be nailed to a cross? Do you think it was hard for her to see him walk the cross, up to the cross of Calvary with the cross? Couldn't, so weak he had to get a helper. Was it God's will? Was that God's will? Yes. Was it difficult? Absolutely. Was it different than she thought it would be? Yes. But it was still God's will. Now, I want to make a third point. It's always dynamic. It can be hard. It can be different than you. You know, a lot of us, we do make plans, right? Doesn't the Bible say somewhere in Proverbs, set your house in order? So we kind of do make plans, although Jesus said sufficient for today is the evil thereof, didn't he? But we make plans, and, you know, we try to look down the road and see what our future holds, and maybe we can, you know, most of us after a while decide I probably ought to think about building a retirement just in case I retire, if I live long enough. Not everybody does that, and then when they get old, I know a lot of pastors, when they get old, they got nothing. I mean, they don't have anything, and they didn't plan well. But we plan some, but sometimes our plans get interrupted. That happens. And sometimes those interruptions are very, very difficult. But I want to tell you, it can be very, very dynamic. Now look at chapter 14. Again, we're in Exodus still, verse 16. Let me go back to and read verse 15 because it sets the context. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, is that dynamic or what? And I beheld, and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, because God's always going to get honor, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and a darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them, and their right hand and on the left hand. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's dynamic. Now, can you imagine standing there at the Red Sea, and you got an army behind you, they want to kill you. You've got the water in front of you, and you don't have anywhere to go, and Moses raises up, and the waters part. Wow. You've never seen that. You probably never will see that either, by the way. And they walked over, and it wasn't even muddy. The Bible said they walked over on dry land. Now, that's something. Living in the will of God might be different than you planned, and it might be more difficult than you'd ever would have thought, but it's always dynamic. Now, Joseph, history says, and Scripture seems to bear it out, that he died before Mary. And the reason I say that Scripture seems to bear it out, after the age of 12, you don't find where Joseph is mentioned in the Bible. But if you would have said, Joseph, while you were around, all of this that you and Mary went through, was it worth it? I think Joseph would have said something like this. Well, I got to raise the Son of God. You better believe it was worth it. If you were to ask him, Joseph, was it different? Oh, yeah. Me and Mary, we had our life all planned out. It was way different than we expected. Was it difficult? Oh, you should have heard the people. You should have heard the lies. You should have heard the gossip. You should have heard the people. The things they said about me, the things they said about my wife. Yeah, it was difficult. But I'll tell you, it was worth it. If you would have went and interviewed Mary, and you would have said, Mary, was it worth it? She said, I got to do what all Jewish women wanted to do. I was the instrument that God used to bring the Lamb of God into the world. I got to raise the Savior. Yes, it was worth it. It wasn't exactly what I had in mind. It was way different than I had planned out, to be honest. But it was worth it. I think she might have said something like this. I think I would have preferred if it waited till after I was married before I got pregnant. But why couldn't God allow that to happen like that? Because everybody would have assumed it was a natural birth. Jesus had to be born of a virgin. So Mary, it really did have to happen that way. It had to be hard. It had to be different. The virgin birth had to be a difficult thing. It was difficult, she would have said, from the time I got pregnant to the day I saw him resurrected. Because in between there, there was always enemies against him. There were always people that opposed my son. There were those that then they arrested him and they beat him and they lied about him and they mocked him and they scourged him and they did all these things. Ultimately, they led him to a cross and they nailed him to a cross. And we watched him hang on that cross. We watched him bleed on that cross and shed his blood on the cross. Yeah, it was difficult. Yes, it was very difficult. It was tough. I wasn't married. I had never known a man. Now I'm pregnant. The gossip was the worst. There was no room in the inn. So we had to go to a barn, and there's the feed trough there, which is a hewn out stone, and that's where we had our baby. And my husband was a good man. He died at a young age. I watched Jesus abused and abused, but when I look back, she would have said, yeah, it was worth it. It was all worth it. Serving God in the will of God might be different than you want, more difficult than you can imagine. You'll say, I didn't see this one coming. But in the end, I want to tell you something. It's worth it. It's dynamic. There's a song we sing. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Right now, sometimes life is just hard. It's just hard. And it's different than we planned out. But when we see him, if we walk by faith and live by faith and trust him and live for him and live for his glory and live for his honor, you know what, in the end? I promise you this, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Now, maybe you need to surrender your will to God's will and accept whatever God has for you. Even if it's different than you planned, more difficult than you thought, more difficult than you want, maybe you need just to accept what things that come your way that you cannot control with a better attitude. You know, things happen in our life that we have no control over. But you know what we can control? We can control our attitude in those circumstances. And I will tell you, my attitude is not always the best in every circumstance that I go through in life. And I'm not here to ask you if yours is or not, but I would imagine sometimes your attitude could be better also. But we can control that. So the first lesson in the Christmas story is this: God's will. Was it God's will that all this happened the way that it happened? Well, that's a no-brainer. Of course it was all God's will that it happened that way. It wouldn't happen that way. I'm not sure it was easy for God the Father. I don't think it was easy when the Father had his only begotten Son, the only one of his kind, go to that cross at Calvary. I don't think that was easy. I don't think it was easy even for the Father to turn his back on the Son while Jesus bore the sins of the world. But it had to be so. A perfect sacrifice had to be made. But do I think it was easy? I don't think so. So it's different. It can be difficult, but it'll always be dynamic. Don't plan your life so strict that if God says, you know, I think I'd like to change something in your life, no, and don't fight God. You think it was difficult for Mary to be God's human instrument to bring the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world into the world? Sure it was. But was it worth it? It was worth it. So let me just encourage you something. You might hit a twist, a corner in your life where you're walking down this path and it just goes like that, and you say, wow, I didn't see that one coming. And it might be more difficult than you ever would have imagined. But if you stay faithful to the God, if you stay faithful to our God, it will always be dynamic. Father, I try to put myself in that place, and it's just for Mary and Joseph. we find out, and it's pretty obvious, really, that sometimes the will of God and the perfect will of God, and they were in the perfect will of God. That's obvious. It was different than they planned. It was very difficult. And yet, it was so dynamic. They had the privilege to raise your son, our Savior, our Redeemer. And Lord, we can't thank you enough. I suppose it was difficult on you. May, Lord, we surrender everything to you, to your will, even if it's different than we planned, even if it's more difficult than we could have imagined. Living by faith and walking by faith, because when we get to the end, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. And may we all accept these truths as we plan our life and as we plan our future. Some things in life you might just turn in a different direction. Help us to be open to the will of God in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Maybe you need to completely surrender everything to the Lord and accept and let God know that you accept whatever he's done or whatever he's doing in your life right now. Just let him know. Thank you for life, and we thank you even for the difficult times in your life, our life. And I pray that we would learn to live by faith and not by sight. That we would follow you regardless, and we would surrender everything to you. And when the hard times come and they're different than we planned and they're more difficult than we expected or want, we'll just keep trusting and just keep obeying and just keep following. And just doing all that you would have us to do. We praise you and we love you and we thank you, Lord. May we totally be surrendered like Mary and Joseph. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.